John chapter 12 and verse 32. A familiar statement that you'll recognize as you look at it, and we want to let it speak to our hearts tonight. John chapter 12. For years, I've always quoted this passage in a way that it's all right, but it's not really what Jesus intended in this, and that in verse 32 of John chapter 12, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And normally I've quoted that in that how that as we would lift Jesus up in praise and song, and that as we would honor him, he would draw people to himself in that. But really, he was saying something else besides that. Though we're to do this, but what he was really talking about, and you'll see the interpretation of this passage in the next verse, verse 33. "This he said, signifying what death he should die." So when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." He said, when I'm crucified, when I'm lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. The right interpretation is understanding the meaning and the purpose of the cross in which Jesus was crucified upon. We find that this was talked about, if you look at John chapter 3 and verse 14, John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being saved. Nicodemus thought he was going to heaven simply because he was a Jew. He had the assurance that he was going to heaven because he was successful. And he was even encouraged that he was going to heaven because he did what God, he felt like what God wanted him to do. But Jesus told him, you need to be born again, that you are not on your way to heaven. Our works does not take us to heaven. We have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And in explaining that to Nicodemus, in verse 14 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And here that phrase is used again about being lifted up. And he was talking about that when the children of Israel were on their way out of Egypt, going to the land that God had promised them, and they had rebelled against God. They complained about the manna that they were eating. This was the corn of heaven. This was angels' food, and they weren't satisfied with that. And then they complained about they didn't have water, though God had Moses to strike the rock, and water came out, then to speak to it, and water came out. He always provided everything that they needed, and they were complaining about this, and so God sent the snakes in. I mean, every which way they turned, everything they turned over, there was a snake there. In their tents, in their bedding, and in their cooking utensils, everywhere. And these were not just grass snakes. They were poisonous snakes. And then they were being bitten by these snakes. As this happened, the poison from the snakes would begin to spread throughout their bodies. Wherever they were bitten would begin to swell. The pain was there. And then they would die. And this was such a great plague that was upon them. And they asked Moses to pray to God. And God told Moses, "Well, make a brass serpent, a brass snake. Put it on a pole." Well, now brass is symbolic of death, of judgment, and how that the serpent, symbolic of sin, sin was to be judged, and the price had to be paid for sin. Put it on a pole and lift it up in the camp. And then he said, give them instructions. Those who believe they will be healed when they look at that brass serpent would be healed. Can you just imagine some of them as they thought about that? A child coming in and trying to tell his dad, who was dying and trying to catch his breath in as the poison was spread throughout the body. Moses said, if you would just look at that brass serpent on the pole and believe, you'd be healed. The father would say, that's foolish, son. That can't help you at all. That's just an old brass serpent made out of brass that's on that pole. That can't help you at all. But those who did believe, they were healed. This was the picture of what Jesus would do for us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What can the cross do for us? When we believe that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day, by the healing that we have, the forgiveness of sin and all that's involved in that, what a tremendous picture that is there. And so Jesus is saying now, for you to come to me, and you cannot go to the Father unless you come through me. No one can go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So to draw and to be drawn to God, some things must happen in your life. You cannot come to Jesus. You cannot go to Jesus or to the Father in your good works. You cannot go to Jesus or to God, the Father, by being religious. You cannot go to Jesus and God the Father just by paying your way. Those things won't work. Anything that man could dream up would not allow you to really go before God. Only when Jesus would be lifted up, he would make the way possible for us to be drawn unto him and unto God. What a marvelous, marvelous message that we have in this. And if you'll notice now in this, that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, when we think about that, when Jesus died upon the cross, when he was lifted up, we were reconciled to God. Think about that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. To draw us unto God is to be reconciled, made right with God. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That word reconcile means to be made right with God. He would make us right with God by the cross. My, what a blessing it is when he was lifted up, then reconciliation was made for you and I, that we could be drawn to him and to God. Notice in that 14th verse of that same chapter, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What separated us from God, our sins, our ungodliness, our rebellion, all that that separated us from God was taken care of by Jesus when he was lifted up on the cross. We have peace. We can be drawn to God in peace, being made right by the cross of our Lord and Savior. Then notice verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man in making peace. I still don't understand it. It's still amazing to me every time I think about it. Because of the cross, not only do we have peace, the law that dealt with revealing our sin, that's done away with. And through Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And we become a new person. A lot of times as we think about becoming that new person, well, I've got to do something. Well, I got news for you. You can't be a new person without the power of God. And he does it through us. And we just simply need to surrender to him in that. And so when he's lifted up, we have the middle wall of partition is broken down. The ceremonial law is abolished. And then look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Because of the cross, he said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into him. You see, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags before a holy God. How in the world can we come before Jesus and God? Jesus said, when I be lifted up, when he's crucified on the cross, he makes it possible for us to come before God holy and blameless. Look at that now in Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He said, when I be lifted up, when I'm crucified, I'll not only make you right with God, but you'll be able to come in my righteousness. You'll stand holy before God in my holiness, unblameable. My, what a blessing it is. And we feel so guilty, and rightly so. But remember, Jesus paid the full price for our sins upon the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. When Jesus would be lifted up, when he was crucified above the cross, our sins are forgiven. In verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. When I be lifted up, Jesus is saying, when I'm crucified, your sins will be nailed to this old cross because I've paid the price for it. What a blessing of where we can have forgiveness of our sins, not the judgment of our sins. Oh, how that when we realize this in the cross, we're drawn to him and we're drawn to the Heavenly Father. That's the only way we can come to God, is through our Lord and Savior, and that's because he was lifted up. He was crucified for our sins. Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans chapter 5. And verse 9, what a precious passage that is here. I wish we had time to read all of Romans chapter 5 as it talks about the blessings we have when Jesus was lifted up, when he was crucified. But verse 9 really brings it out to us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Being justified. When Jesus was lifted up, when he was crucified for us, we were justified. Just as if I had never committed a sin. Sometimes when I begin to think about and the old devil tries to remind me of my past. And remember, as a child of God, your past is dead. Your past is buried with Jesus. You don't need to fool with it. No longer does God remember it, but the devil will try to get you to remember it. And you'll feel guilty. How in the world can I serve God with the way I've lived and what I've done? I've got news for you. When Jesus was lifted up and he was crucified, you were justified just as if you had never committed a sin, just as if you had no past whatsoever, because your sins are forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon that cross. Man, what a blessing that we have in that when he is lifted up, when he is crucified, we're drawn to him and to God because he made the way possible for us. And then we find in John chapter 19, John chapter 19 and verse 30, when we talk about Jesus being lifted up and how that draws us to him and draws us to God and what he did upon the cross, we find some very precious words in John chapter 19 and verse 30. He's on the cross. He's coming close to the end. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Oh, my. Don't you realize he paid it all? My salvation is complete in Jesus. I don't have to pay any taxes on it. I don't have to do something extra to it. I don't have to join a church. I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to do all of the things that man wants to tie to it. You see, when he was lifted up, when he was crucified, he finished my salvation and I can be drawn to God. You remember the thief on the cross? He didn't have a chance to join a church. He didn't have a chance to go to Sunday school. He didn't have a chance to be baptized. He didn't have any chance whatsoever. He was dying, and yet Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Because you see, Jesus finished his salvation upon the cross. He finished your salvation and my salvation. We're complete in him. And so when he is lifted up, then we are drawn to him. When we think about our salvation being completed, we have to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. My, what a precious passage that is there. We have songs about this, and rightly so, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible teaches us so clearly and so wonderfully in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The amazing grace of God, unmerited favor. When I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That grace is for everyone who will believe. Now, as I mentioned earlier, and I started in this, that normally when I read that text, if you'll look at it again in John chapter 12 and verse 32, John chapter 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I've always thought of that as how can we lift up Christ, and so that others would come to know him as their Lord and Savior. See, we know that he's talking about when he was lifted up, when he was crucified, he'd make the way possible. But still yet, there's that desire that even today, not that we would crucify Christ again, but we want to lift him up that all people could come to him. Well, there's a way that we can do that. And I want you to look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. I talked to Loy, told him before the service today, and I said, "Now I'm going to be preaching on the cross." And he was faithful and leading us in songs about the cross and how precious those songs are, and rightly so. And so how can we lift up Jesus? How can we honor him in this? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." That's the cross. You get that? "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." To lift up Jesus, we must preach the cross. We must proclaim the cross and that he died for our sins. And yes, we quickly add, it was buried and raised the third day. Not only did we have our souls redeemed and justified and sanctified by the blood of Jesus, but our life, we will live again because he came forth from the tomb. But it all began, it would have to be with the cross. And so to lift him up, we must preach, we must testify of the cross. Look at verse 18 of that chapter. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Doesn't it thrill your heart to be reminded of what Jesus did for us, of the price that he paid? of that great sacrifice. I mean, he suffered in every which way upon the cross. He suffered in the flesh that he took upon himself when he was born of a virgin. I mean, there was great agony and pain. He was beaten before he ever went to the cross. His back was torn by the whip, and there on that old rugged cross. And it wasn't a polished cross. It wasn't something that was finished like this table. It had splinters. It was rugged. It was rough. And without his back being injured at all, just to rub up and down on that cross would be painful. You see, as they nailed his hands to the members on each side, and then his feet on a little platform at the just where his feet came to, and nailed his feet there, he would sink down. He would rub his back against that cross. For him to speak or to catch a breath, when he would come down and his arms would be stretched up, the muscles would pull across his lungs and he couldn't breathe. He would have to stand up and be weak and come down and stand up. He was constantly moving up and down that cross with his back already torn to shreds by the whip, and now upon that cross. He suffered physically. He paid that physical price for our sins. He suffered spiritually. You remember when he hung on the cross and it was black? He looked up into heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time in all of eternity, Jesus was left alone for you and for me. We don't know what loneliness is. He experienced that separation from his Father because of our sins. And then he suffered in hell for us. But he conquered it all. He paid the full price. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then look at verse 21 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, if we're going to lift up Jesus, that others would come to him, we must preach the cross. We must preach the word of God. Notice that again. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now, there are a lot of things we can do and that we try to do to present God to the world, and rightly so. But none of these things take the place of the preaching of God's word. And today, even amongst Southern Baptists, they're trying their best to remove the pulpit from the church. They're trying their best to have something else besides the preaching of God's word in this. If we're going to lift up Christ, we've got to stay with the preaching of his word. Notice that verse. It says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Today we are so educated as believers that we feel we know better and how to present the gospel in a better way. It would be better if the pastor would get up here and just have a conversation with the congregation and just have a talk type of thing. No, God said, it's by the foolishness of preaching. And we must preach God's word, nothing else and nothing less than God's holy word. The cross, we must proclaim the cross. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. How do we lift him up? We know he's talking about the cross. How do we do that? By proclaiming the cross. By living taking up our cross daily and following him in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world needs to see the cross of Jesus. They need to see the sacrifice that he paid for their sins. They need to realize they can be justified and forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus upon the cross. And how can they know about the cross unless you and I take up our cross daily? That means we are to die to ourselves and live to him. Down through the years, we've had terrorist groups. People who would gather together, who were dedicated, they forsook everything they have and they were bent on carrying out their little agenda of upsetting whatever might be the status quo of their day and their time. Now today we're faced with a terrorist group they're telling us is greater than any of all history, that of ISIS. When you look at that and look at that group, what in the world are they trying to do? What is their agenda that's involved in that? The only thing that we can see and that's prominent throughout their group is murder, killing others. They're bent on that. And we've got people here in the United States that are going and joining that group at any cost, at any price that is there. The people that are in that are totally dedicated to that purpose and will lay their life on the line. If anybody ought to be dedicated to any cause whatsoever, it ought to be God's people to God. If we had that type of dedication, if we had that type of commitment where we took up our cross, we died to whatever was around us, we were crucified to whatever might be, the world would see Jesus lifted up. Our problem in our churches today, our problem in our nation today with God's people is that we have no commitment. We want to serve God without taking up the cross. We want to serve God and mammon at the same time. Oh, I'll serve God, but I need to rest with my family. I'll serve God, but I need to take some time off. What if God took time off from us? I'm so glad that you want to worship God and you're holding on to something that's very sacred to me. That is the day that we come together on the first day of the week. Not on the Sabbath, that was Saturday. That's a day of rest. We come together on the first day of the week because this is the day that Jesus was raised from the tomb. We serve a living, risen Savior. And we have everlasting life. For me to lay my life on the line is not really anything. Because you see, I can never die. Now the doctor might say I'm dead, but he's lying. I'll just go home. But be careful what you do with my clothing, because I'm going to put it back on. It's going to be raised. And I'm going to live on this earth again, not for 70 years or 80 years or 90 years. I'm going to live for eternity. Man, what victory we have in our Lord. We can do nothing less than die to the world and live to him, to be crucified to the world. We're to glory in the cross, in that we are giving our lives totally and completely to him. There should be no question where we're going to be or what we're going to do. As a pastor for 50 years, and the churches where I've pastored and God allowed me to pastor, I've had different ones in the community come to me. As a pastor, you need to join our group. You need to come and be involved with this. I said, I'm sorry. I just don't have the time. My dedication is serving God. My dedication is doing what God wants me to do. That is the priority in my life. And that needs to be in the priority of all of our lives. If we're going to lift him up, then we're going to have to bear our cross. We're going to have to be crucified to the world and the world crucified to us. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Here again, that term, lifted up, is used in relation to Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said unto them, John 8, verse 28, Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, in other words, when he's crucified, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am. When you're willing to be crucified to the world and to yourself, and you're willing to lift up Christ and to magnify the cross, then you'll know that he is God. And the world will know that. That's the world that's what the world needs to see today. Not a socialized Christ, but one who paid the price for our sins. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 again in verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. I want you to notice again some key words in this passage. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Chapter 1, verse 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That believe. Will you believe? Will you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Will you believe that he walked in our shoes, a sinless life? Will you believe that he gave his life upon the cross? He paid the price for our sins. Will you believe that he was buried and raised again the third day? Will you believe his word? When we'll believe it and act upon it, then we will bear our cross, we'll magnify Jesus, and he will draw all men unto himself. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.